Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Sean Douglas, and we have another crazy episode of Impactful People. I'm loving the guests that we have on here, and I hope you are too. We have a life coach and emotions coach today, and her name is Anushka Lalwani. Anushka is a life and emotions coach for men, and she is the founder of the Facebook group, hashtag Empower Men. She is Indian born and raised in Barcelona, Spain, now living and working in London. She struggled for 16 years with her weight and her moves, and she used the law of attraction and mindset success principles to lose weight and live a happier life. Today, she teaches men how to reach their full potential in life and like in their personal and professional life, which is amazing. She helps clear their blocks to success in their relationships, career, health, and personal growth. Anushka is a certified health coach from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition and also levels 1 and 2 Reiki coach. Her website is www.anushkalwani. So Anushka Lalwani, anushkalalwani.com. And the Facebook group is facebook.com/group/empowermen. And Instagram is Anushka Lalwani. So welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah, I'm really good. How are you today?
We're making this happen no matter what. We're making this happen.
Yes, we are. We are.
So awesome. The first question we always ask on the show is why, right? So why do we do what we do? This show is heard in 23 countries. We've had amazing, impactful, crazy guests on here, and it's a lot of energy and fun. And I just, the one question that I always ask is why. So tell us why you do what you do.
I love this question, Sean. Why I do what I do is, you know, a few years ago, I discovered magic. And I just realized that if this can change my life, it can change so many lives in the world. And that's when I realized, sure, you know what, it's time to share this with everyone. And I almost felt like I finally found something that is working, that is explaining me why I've been living my life the way I have until now, why all the quote-unquote bad things have happened to me, and how I can start to shift these in my life. So that's really, I just felt like, okay, awesome, this is fantastic, why not share it with the world? And mm-hmm. that's sort of where my journey began, to really giving back, you know, like I really wanted to give back, I wanted to leave a legacy in the world, and I want to make sure I can impact as many people. And I think from the moment I decided that I wanted to start impacting people and really like sharing this information and just really helping people, you know, live a better life. I remember I used to pray to the universe every day saying, just give me one person today. Any one person I can make a difference with today. And every day someone
right.
comes my way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
I love it. So what is, so for those who don't know, what is, so you, levels 1 and 2, Reiki certified. Tell us what that is. What does it mean to be certified
uh-huh.
in that?
Okay, so with, you know, I'm really into sort of energy healing, and
mm-hmm.
years ago I got introduced to Reiki, which is it's a Japanese energy healing technique, which is used with your hands on It's a hands-on technique, but you can also use it for distance healing. And that attracted me most to it. The power of being able to heal someone from a distance, it was like, wow, this is fantastic. And, you know, I've done a lot of, like, sort of energy healing. So I've done, like, hypnosis. I've done BEST, which is bioenergetic synchronization technique. I've had energy editing done to me. And I do a lot of energy work because, really, everything is energy. And especially if you want to keep moving forward in your life and keep achieving goals, your dreams, like, keep becoming better, it's so important to always work on your energy and release all the old stuff. And one of the many tools, yes, eating is really important. You got to eat healthy, you know, exercise, but also working on energy is really, really important. So a couple of months ago, I decided that I wanted to take my energy to the next level. And I really wanted to incorporate this with my coaching and really help my clients achieve the next level of success. So I decided to certify in Reiki, which is, as I mentioned, a hands-on technique, but you can also do it long distance. And just this week, I've been like doing Reiki on a couple of friends and trying it out, and they're already noticing differences. And it's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing, the power of energy. Like, it blows my mind.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
So how come more people don't get into that, or how come more people don't know about it?
You know, I'd say that there is a collect conscious belief around around energy work, because they think it's taboo. They think it doesn't work. Like, oh, it's black magic or it's
voodoo.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I think that's mainly the reason. But the thing is that, you know, in the UK, Reiki is actually complementary to medical treatments. So actually the government here even acknowledges it, and actually even hospitals, they acknowledge it. Like, now Reiki has been introduced for cancer patients. So alongside your chemotherapy, you can do this energy work to make sure, like the biggest benefit of Reiki is stress, de-stressing and promoting relaxation. And a lot of peace. Like, I've noticed you feel very peaceful after you've done Reiki, and it's just calming all the nerves and just relaxing your body. It's almost like getting a massage, but a different way of getting a massage. You know, people get massages or Swedish body massages aren't taboo. Like, you get extra, you know, boost of energy or of help. Like, what a lot of sports people, like, when they do a match in football, or when they into fitness, they go and get a sports massage. But the sports massage is not considered like taboo, you know.
Right.
The sports massage is not considered black magic because it has a scientific approach to it. The thing is that Reiki also has a scientific approach to it, just a less known scientific approach to it. So,
wow.
And I'm a huge, huge believer of trying everything once. That's why you know, I've tried everything when it comes to working on my energy and really reprogramming my mindset. You know, I've done TFT, I've done EFT. I've had a lot of different techniques tried on me, even hypnosis, which I think is brilliant as well. But for me personally, I resonated the most with Reiki, and that's why I decided that I wanted to learn it, because I really believe in empowering ourselves, and we got to learn these techniques so you never have to depend on anyone else, and you can really do it to yourself. You know, so I highly encourage everyone to go and empower themselves in whichever way they feel good.
Love it. I love everything about that. So tell me who you were before you got to this point, right? I mean, look back, you know, you said you struggled for 16 years with weight and moods, and you use the law of attraction, which I absolutely love, the law of attraction. But who were you before you became, you know, the certified coaches and made the group Empower Men? What did she look like?
Wow. She was a totally different person. So I am Indian by origin, but I was born and brought up in Barcelona, Spain, for those of you who don't know. And I grew up in a rather traditional Indian family. So, you know, the men are the breadwinners, and the women are housewives. They work at home. They take care of the kids. So, however, because I grew up in Spain and I was going to like Spanish school, well, school with like, it was an American school, but I had a lot of international friends. And you know, when you're going to school and they, you know, when you're in like kindergarten and, you know, elementary, and they ask you questions like, so what does your mom do? And it's like, my mom's a housewife. And everyone would look at me like, what is that? You know, like, what is a housewife? And I was like, you know, someone who stays at home and takes care of the kids. And they were like, oh, okay. Like, they never understood. And almost that made me feel like maybe this is like not a real job, you know, like for me, it was growing up in a bubble, but in the outside world, like being a housewife is not a job. Like, it's not really, you know, she's not making money. Like, all my friends' parents were like doctors, lawyers, teachers, and like my mom was like a housewife, and I was like, okay, that's interesting. But my dad obviously had a business, and you know, that was that. So I guess growing up, I really always felt this confusion. I felt a lot of confusion. Like, I never understood why in my house women don't work, but in my school, my teachers were women, like the women, the people in the kitchen were women, like everywhere there were like a lot of women working, you know, and a lot of my friends had women working. I never, it didn't make sense to me as a child. So, but at home I understood that, okay, the man has his role and the woman has her role. So obviously growing up with so much confusion, it really led me to question myself a lot and question what I wanted to do, because at home, I was, you know, told that, okay, Anushka, like, when you finish school, like, you're going to go to university, but eventually you're going to get married. Like, I was told what my life was going to look like. From a very young age, I was always told what my life was going to look like, because obviously, you know, my mom did that. She finished school, she got married to my dad, and then she moved with him. So I was always told that you're going to go wherever your husband is going to go. Like, if your husband is in Australia, you're going to go and live with him in Australia. If your husband is in America, you're going to go and live with him there. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, until I became like older and I became a teenager, and in middle school and high school, they start to ask you like, so what career path do you want to take? Do you want to study sciences or do you want to study literature? And I was so like confused, because I was like, why are you teaching me and asking me these questions in school when this is not my plan? Like, I didn't get it, you know, and I really had to, and I was really good at what I was studying, and I did really well in, like, you know, physics and chemistry and stuff, and I was, okay, you know, this is my career path. Like, I really, inside, I was getting so excited about, like, studying sciences and, you know, doing my numbers and everything, but at home, I was told almost, like, okay, Anushka, you gotta learn like how to make our traditional Indian dish. And I was like, this is really confusing. Like, overall, I was a very confused teenager. You know, I used to struggle a lot with explaining to my parents how I used to feel. And I think that really like created a shield, a protection. I protected myself with a layer of weight, because it was like all these emotions were inside. Like, at school, I was learning something else. At home, I was learning something else. And I was really, really confused. And I just couldn't tell anyone about it. Because every time I would speak about it at home, or I would come home and say, like, okay, so they're asking me about this, and what is the next step, and I'm working really hard. And my family would see that I'm working really hard at school, and I was doing really, really well, especially in, like, the 11th and 12th grade. I did really well. And I was like, okay. And then obviously, I had a bit of hope, because my dad said to me, okay, Anushka, like, what do you want to study in university? And I was like, oh my God, like, maybe I'm going to change things for my family, you know? And maybe I am going to be that one who's going to, like, go and study for the first time. That's going to be so cool, and do a university degree. And so my family, you know, I told my dad, you know, I really want to study chemistry. Like, I was so good at it, and I really wanted to study chemistry in Paris, in a university in Paris. And my dad was like, no, you can only study business. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean I can only study business? Why can't I study chemistry? And he's like, no, you can only study business, because remember, you're going to get married to someone, and you're going to have to, you need business skills, because he's going to have a business. And I was like, but if he's a business owner? What if he's like an engineer? Like, what are my business skills going to help him there? And at the end of the day, I don't want to study business. You know? Like, I didn't like it. I wasn't interested in it. Right. And he was like, no, you got to study business, and you can only go to, if you don't study in Barcelona, you can go outside, but you can go to London. That's the only place you can go. And I was like, but why can't I go to Paris? Like, I want to go to Paris. This way I can improve on my French skills, which I had started in school. And, you know, this way I would speak French, I would speak Spanish, I was really big on knowing more languages open more avenues in my life. And he said, sure. No, you can only go to London because that's where I have family. And I'm like, okay. So I basically started to study a degree, which I didn't even want to do in London. And obviously, I was so big on numbers and science. I was like, let me find the one that is most related to numbers and science. So I started to study finance and accounting, which I didn't want to study, you know, but I had to study because that was the norm. Like, obviously, coming from an Indian family, you girl, there's like you don't have a lot of opportunity to like go and say I don't want to do this. Now,
right.
When I came to London, now I come from what is called a joint family. So we were like four families living together. So I lived with my cousins growing up, all in a huge house. Like it was lots of fun, but at the same time, you don't know what it is to be alone. So when I came to study my degree, I'm in like a dorm, like a school dorm, like a university dorm. So I spent a lot of time on my own. And I realized then that all my emotions and thoughts started to amplify. Like they all came to the surface. It was like I just couldn't deal with my moods. It was horrible. Like I didn't know. I became super reactive. You know, I would have horrible cravings. I was constantly eating junk food. In university, no one's taking care of you. No one's cooking for you. So, you know, you're always eating out. I'm sure so many university students tend to gain weight. I gained even more weight. I was already overweight. I gained even more weight. You know, I was striving and struggling. And because I was a different one in school, I was always striving to fit in. So I automatically felt that in university, I also had to do that. So in university, a lot of my friends, even though I went to an international university, a lot of my friends were smoking and drinking. And although I wasn't of that kind, I just started to do it because I was like, okay, maybe I just need to fit in. Like, I need to make friends here, so let me also start doing all of this. So I took on smoking. I took on – I mean, I had occasional drink in Spain, but I drank a lot more in London. And, you know, everything just started to escalate. Like, my health was really bad after some time. And obviously, when I finished my degree, I did really well in my degree. I did a really good dissertation on real estate in Spain. I was like 1 point short of a first class. And then again, I studied so hard because, you know, my parents were always like, you need to study hard. You need to do really well and everything. And then when I finished my degree, my parents were like, okay, you're done now. Come back to Barcelona. We're going to like teach you how to run the household and then you've got to get married. And I was like, what? Like, I had like an identity crisis, you know. I was almost like, are you kidding me? Like, I've worked so hard for my degree and what do you mean get married? Like, who am I going to get married to? I don't even have a boyfriend. I don't like anybody. Like, what the hell? What am I going to do getting married? So, but because it came from that thought process, it was really hard for me to understand them. Over the last few years, I've just come more into acceptance mode. So I had to go back to Spain because, you know, I was codependent on my family financially and I had to do what they wanted to do. So I went back to Spain and I think that's when I hit the first time I hit rock bottom where I was like depressed. I was absolutely depressed. I remember spending nights, it was the recession. So in 2009, I finished my degree and I went back. There were no jobs. There was no way for me to find a job. Where I went, they've only done a diploma, you've not done a full degree. In Spain, a degree is 4 years, in the UK, it's 3 years. So, employment companies, they all, and agencies, and they all started lying that at 20, I had already finished my degree. They were like, this is a diploma, you like, for qualification. And I was like, oh God, this is horrible. I tried to get a job because I was like, I realized that I was financially independent. So the only way I could do what I really wanted to do was become financially independent. So I realized, okay, I got to make a plan, you know? I'm realizing I got sick and tired of getting so tired. And something inside me, like, it was such a big fire that I was like, I furiously started applying to jobs, got a job within the UK market in Spain, And that's when
awesome.
I get UK experience and made my way back to London after a year. Just in a year, I made my way back to London.
That's awesome. So would you say that was probably the best part of your journey or your transformation?
I think that was the beginning of my, that was definitely the beginning of my transformation. I knew I had to come back to London because London made me happy, right? Or happier than I was, let's say. But when I came to London and I started to live on my own and get a job, I realized that, you know, I still wasn't happy with my health. And, you know, I wasn't happy about the fact that I was still overweight. It was something I struggled with because as you get older, obviously, like you're in your work environment, all your colleagues have girlfriends and boyfriends and everyone's asking you about like your love life. And I was like, no, I don't have a boyfriend. Like I used to always feel really bad. Like guys wouldn't like me because I'm not skinny. Like so many of my, you know, relatives as well would always say to me, Anushka, you've got to lose weight. No one's going to marry you if you don't lose weight. So growing up, like from the age of 8, when I started to gain weight, I was always criticized for my weight.
Self-conscious?
Like, I was a very underweight child, and when I and they were always like, she's too skinny. Like my grandma would always be like, make her eat. As soon as I gained the weight, they were all like, oh, she's too fat, make her lose weight. I was almost like, you're never happy. Like I'm not good enough for you guys, just the way I am. And this is something that I've realized a lot around the world with both men and women is that we as society have so many labels that we make it difficult for the other person to live happily and just be in their own skin. And that, I think, when I came back to London in 2011, at the end of 2011, I started to work. And I started to work a lot. So, you know, I was working for one company, so alcohol was even more available to me. I was on my own, so, you know, I had already picked up the habit of smoking, so that just continued. And it just got worse until December 2012 on Christmas Day. I was alone because I had to do work. I had to work on my job. And I was alone in London, and that's when everything, like, hit me. And I was like, okay, Anushka, something's got to give. Something's got to change in your life because, you know, you deserve to be happy. Like, you're not even 100% happy because, obviously, there was still a lot of resistance with my family, right? Like, I did what no one else has done in my family. Like, no one in my family as a woman has ever earned their own income. So it was not impressive to my family. No one, like, gave me, like, a pat on the back and said, well done. They were all like, wow, like, this is a bit crazy. Like, this woman is a bit crazy kind of thing. And it wasn't, I don't want to say it was shamed, but it was not, it was definitely not like supported and it was not like applauded. So, but I was very adamant about the fact, because for me, I understood that if I'm financially dependent on you, I'm tied to you for the rest of my life. I can't live my life. So life and I got to be happy and do the thing. So, but that Christmas, I realized, okay, something has shifted in my life when, like 360 degrees. And I remember going to bed on Christmas Day alone in my flat in London, crying, like literally I wanted Christmas to end. I was just like, I just want Christmas to end. Like I want it to be the 6th of December, 2012, so I can go out and, you know, meet people because in London, the transport is closed. Everything is closed in London. Like it's like super dead on Christmas Day. Like no one is out. Like, it's really like empty. And, you know, I was alone working, so it was horrible. I remember going to bed like at 9 or 9:30 p.m., crying my eyes out, just praying whoever was out there saying, please change my life. Like, please give me something that will change my life. And just a few months later, I got introduced to the law of attraction through some audios and the book The Secret. And by then, I was so desperate that I was willing to try anything. Like literally anything. If you would have told me go to like a mountain and or climb a mountain and pray in the mountain, or I would have done that too. Like I was so desperate for my life to change that I was willing to try anything. And the law of attraction came to me, and the secret came to me, and I was like, oh my God, are you telling me that if I change the way I think, and if I, you know, start to implement everything in the secret, like the, you know, the vision board, positive thinking, positive books, audios, hanging out with like-minded people, thinking about what I want versus what I don't want. Are you telling me that this works? Okay, I'll give it a shot. And everything shifted. Everything in my life started to shift. I started to leave smoking. I started to focus on my health. And I was like, okay, this really works. I'm going to start with weight loss. Like, that is my number one goal. So I'm going to start to think of myself as skinnier. I'm going to create a vision board that is all health related and inspiring. You know, I'm going to... And then people around me were starting to talk about weight loss, about losing weight. You start to see like advertisements everywhere. So everything started to come into my radar related to weight loss. And I naturally started to feel better. I didn't want to go out for drinks anymore with my friends. And then that December, I said, okay, it's New Year's, 2013, like the 31st of December, 2013. Okay, my goal is to lose weight next year. And literally within a few weeks, I signed up for the gym. I started to work out, got myself a personal trainer, started to make lifestyle changes, researched on weight loss. Everything came into place. It all started to align. And then after that, I realized, okay, I really, like, people need to hear this. This has changed my life.
Right.
Like, you know, the law of attraction has transformed who I am as a person. Like,
mm-hmm.
Everyone needs this in their life. Even if they're not
everybody
going to shit, they need this.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah, that,
so on the so there's always two sides to a story, right? So what was the worst part? What do you think sticks out to you as one of the worst parts about your transformation or your journey?
I would say I don't think anything is worse. I think everything is part of the journey. But the one thing that I wish I would have taken way more seriously when I began the law of attraction, actually it's two things. One, just go for it. Don't second guess it. And go all in, you know, like all in.
Yeah.
Do exactly what you're told and don't try and reinvent the wheel. Don't second guess. Just go all in, completely all in. Trust everything. And, you know, one of the big things in the book, The Secret, they talk about is associating yourself with the right people. Growing up, I've always been somebody who used to always say yes, because obviously at home, I was taught, like, you're a woman, you say yes to everything. But there was always something about me and trying to always fit in. I always wanted to be liked. Like, that was one of my biggest issues. So when I started to discover this information and when I set myself the goal of losing weight, I told my friends and I felt very unsupported from my friends. And that's when I realized that, you know, it took me a very long time to let go of my old friendships and develop new ones, because I had an array of people like come to me and be like, oh my God, Anushka, what you're doing is amazing. I love it. Like, they were always encouraging me. I remember one of my colleagues at work, he would always encourage me. You know, I remember many of my friends from my group from my network marketing group, who also studied this information and were also achieving goals and setting goals in their life. They were all encouraging me. But my closest friends were never encouraging me. They were always like, Anushka, like, you've gone a bit crazy. I don't know what you're doing. I understand you want to lose weight, but just take it easy. And the funniest thing is that those friends were the ones that always used to criticize me about my weight. So it was really interesting for me to see, like, how people I thought, you know, were my well-wishers, were my supporters, were my closest friends, deep down, they were just not happy that I actually found something that was helping me and changing my life. And that's when I realized, like, you know, you are the average of your five best friends. You really need to find people who, you know, one of my mentors always said this to me, you got to find friends who divide your sorrows but multiply your happiness.
Right.
And that for me was very, very key, because I had a lot of friends, and I was that person who would, you know, we would divide each other's sorrows, like, and not in the healthiest way, like, oh, you're feeling bad, okay, don't worry, let's go for a drink, feel better. But when it came to multiplying my happiness, I was shocked. I was like, wow, like, I'm really happy. You're not happy for me. That's crazy, you know, to think that I'm finally happy, and instead of you being happy for me, you're just offloading more of your unhappiness on me.
Right.
Right.
Like, why are you not being happy for me? Why are you why can't you see that this makes me really happy? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not like going to jail or anything like that. All I'm doing is reading positive books. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know? The last time I checked, reading a book is not going to take you to jail. So
nice.
I was really, really, really shocked, honestly, at how unsupportive some of my closest, who I thought were my closest friends.
Sure.
I think that was my biggest, like, surprise. I never expected it. And again, you know, I take full responsibility of this because probably me who had really high expectations, and I am somebody who believes in what's going on in your life and really changing it. But yes, I felt really unsupportive, and that almost drove me to do it even more, you know?
So then who's your biggest influencer and supporter now?
My biggest, I would definitely say my mentors, like, you know, the people that I have learned from,
that really care.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, just creating the information that they do, that has really, really helped me. I have some really amazing friends in London now. I have really created some powerful relationships here who, you know, they're always there. When I don't need somebody or when I need somebody, they're just always there for me. And I remember last year, at the beginning of last year, that's when I really started to evaluate my friendship circle. And it was a point, like, I'm not going to lie at all, you know, there was a point where I literally was only talking to two of my friends. And the other two people that I used to hang out with were my coaches who were online. And then the fifth person, my mentor, had only listened to others. I've never met my mentor, but I feel so connected to him, you know, like.
But it's online.
It's all online.
There's,
like,
a lot of people that I've met that I'm very close with online who I've never even hung out with in person. But we talk online all the time.
I know. It's amazing. It's like you and I, you know, like, we just connected.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, like, the connection we have and you know, how we've been able to create all these amazing things. And now my favorite people in the world are, of course, the guys in my group. I love them. I love them so much. They're all amazing. They're all fantastic. It's so beautiful for me to see men really going for it, you know, like, I love it because I truly, like, the reason I created Empowerment is because, you know, me seeing the role of men that I did growing up and the role of women, I realized that really it's the man who drives everything. And if we have more empowered men in our lives, we're going to have empowered bosses, empowered coworkers, empowered, you know, husbands, fathers. And, like, for me, that is so important. Like, just to think that, you know, like, a man in my group is going to go and have a family, and he is going to be so aware of everything that is going on. That, for me, is like, it just makes my heart melt. Like, that drives me every day. Like, I want to see more empowered fathers, husbands, brothers, everything, you know? It's just like, what an amazing world we're going to have in a few years.
That's awesome. So as we wrap up, where are you headed now? New adventures, businesses, family? Tell us what you're doing.
So right now, actually, I am working on launching my ebook, which is called Mastering Your Instincts, which is all for men. And really, like, the plan for the next 6 months is really to work with as many men as I can and really grow my community. I've got a couple of travel plans as well. So I'm heading to Panama next week for an event, which is going to be fantastic and exciting. And
awesome.
Besides that, I love London and I love summer in London. So I'm going to be here. And that's about it, I think. I think I've got my plate pretty full with empowering men, which I love.
Oh, yeah. So what was the best resource that you found during your journey?
There have actually been a couple of resources. One of my favorite resources is books. So there's so many books out there that I recommend everyone read. You know, you're not learning, you're dying, because you're either growing or you're dying. That's really how it is.
Absolutely.
So you got to go and read books. Some of my favorite books are Ask and It Is Given by Abraham Hicks, Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn how to make money, The Science of Getting Rich is fantastic. Think Grow Rich is fantastic. And if you really want to increase your self-belief and really start thinking big, the first book I ever read, which made me realize this is possible, is The Magic of Thinking Big by Dr. David Schwartz. That book was fantastic.
That's awesome. It's
totally amazing. As well as The Secret, of course, which I think is very popular these days. Another resource I would say is audios. You know, you've got to listen to audios. Audio books and just audios on YouTube as well that are related to topics. Like, listen to opera, Tony Robbins, Abraham Hicks. Like, just listen to people who have really succeeded. And
absolutely.
Reiki, do more Reiki. Reiki is really, really powerful. You know, the more relaxed you are, the more calm you feel, the more de-stressed you are, the better you're going to be able to think. I am a huge believer of clarity. Like, for me, everything starts with clarity. Like, whatever you want in life, whatever you want to manifest, whatever you desire, whatever your dreams are, it all starts with clarity. I am always finding ways to feel clear about what I want. And really, I've noticed that when you're like hyper, worried, stressed, you're not thinking straight, you get cloudy in your head, and it's hard to focus on what you want. But when you are calm, relaxed, happy, you know, you've meditated, you've got good people around you, you practice gratitude, then you feel good and you can think good thoughts, you can think clearly what you want to focus on. And it's just amazing. It's fantastic. And I really think one thing I truly believe, and this is my biggest message for everyone listening to this, You all deserve to be happy and make lots of money. And that is, you know, we
absolutely
all deserve to be happy and make lots of money. Really,
yep.
If you feel like you can't, make sure you talk to me or Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. So we always close out the show by giving a shameless plug. You can plug a friend, quote, your websites, the Facebook group, products, movies, whatever. You give a shout out, you plug whatever it is that you want. This is your time to shine. Go.
I love that. Thank you. So to everyone listening, if you are a man or if you know a man who wants more out of life and really wants to find their passion and make a lot of money and be happy and want to empower themselves, then I highly recommend all of you guys to share the Facebook group Empower Men. The link is https://www.facebook.com/group/empowermen. It's EMPOWERMEN. I highly encourage everyone to join Empower Men, especially obviously men, because you know you've got a community there. You know, you've got people like Sean there, people who are really like succeeding, who are really making it happen, and it's so important for you to be surrounded by people who are making it happen. One of the biggest things that helped me grow as a person is having a sisterhood, whether it was online or in person. And that's why I created this brotherhood for men, because I truly believe men deserve to be supported as well. And like me, I have some friends across the world. Well, you can connect with people across the world. You might even find somebody in your own neighborhood that you didn't even know existed and was in stuff. So
yeah.
Join Empower Men. Read my story on my website, www.anushkalalwani.com. It's going to tell you a little bit more about me. You've got a link to Empower Men there too. You can read what my previous clients have had to say about working with me. And, you know, if you're interested, get in touch. I am all about helping people, whether you're a man or a woman, get in touch. Let's set up a chat. It's a complimentary anyways. And let me be of support to you. Let me be of service to you, because you know what? There could be something that I've gone through that can, you know, going through. I'm sure I have gone through it, or I know somebody who has. So either
right.
way, I'm sure I can point you in the right direction.
Perfect. Absolutely. Well said. I would love
Thanks.
To have you on the show again
yes.
in the future to really dive into the Reiki and the mindset success principles and
yes.
what all that entails. If you're up for that, I'd love to get you back on the show.
Absolutely. And let's also talk more about how men specifically can apply this.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like there's a need there, and a lot of people don't know what it is. And especially a lot of men are kind of like, you know, we have to portray the big, strong man. Nothing hurts us. And if we're doing like this weird, you know, Ricky stuff, our boys, our buddies, you know, are going to make fun of us or something. Or we're going to be thought of as weird, you know, if we're wanting to better ourselves or something. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So
yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah. So I'd really love to schedule something here in the next couple of weeks, you know, in the future to really dive into that and see how we can really highlight what you have to offer.
Absolutely. Like, let's do it. We're not from Panama.
yeah, absolutely. So do you have any last words for us? Close?
You know, one of my favorite quotes ever, which actually helps me, is, follow your bliss, you know, and I know I say yeah. this to men especially, like, really, what makes you happy? Just do that. You got to follow your bliss. You really, the more you follow your bliss, you know, especially men, as you are, as rightly as you said, you are expected to provide, you know, you're always supposed to provide for your family. If you are unhappy, how can you provide? How can you give your family more of your time? You are going to give them unhappy time of yours. Really follow your bliss. Do what makes you happy. The happier you are, the happy you're going to be able to lead by example. You're going to be able to tell your wife, your kids, you know, your future wife, and that they also might be happy. And you're going to encourage them. You're going to be the real leader, the empowered leader of your family.
Boom. I love it. It's so true.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And I cannot wait to do this again.
Me too so much, Sean, for having me. It has been such a pleasure. It has energized me completely just to talk about my story. It's so interesting.
I love it. We all have a story to tell.
Yes, totally. All must tell it.
Always. So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, this is another episode with impactful guests, impacting everyone around them, elevating everyone to a whole nother level. And if anything resonated with you, reach out to Anushka Lalwani, reach out to myself, like, share, comment the episodes. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Look us up. We're not hard to find. Join Empower Men Group. It is going to be amazing. So as we close, I want you to keep in mind, like I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold close in your heart. I call it living your brand. When you live your brand, you live out your values and you get out of the reality of what other people think about you. So live your brand and join us every Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, and every first and third Friday. Sometimes we do little pop-up episodes like this Lunch and Learn with Anushka. So be on the lookout for these little special pop-up episodes that we do. But join us every Wednesday. It's a live show, so you can call in. If you're listening on iTunes right now, catch us on a live show. Call in, and let's change your life. So until next time, remember to live your brand. Have a good day.